Fred Film Radio, 31st International Film Critics Week at the Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, this is Nicola Conti here at the 73rd edition of Venice Film Festival, and today I'm joined by Xander Robin. Welcome.
Hello, nice to be here.
So Xander, you have a great film. I had the pleasure to watch it. Unique, to say the least. And we're talking about Are We Not Cats?
Yes.
Are We Not Cats?
Should we just you find out?
Yeah, good. Should we? Yeah, let's do it. Let's be structured. Let's just outline the bit, the film for the audience.
This is why I make movies, so I don't have to. Okay. It's about a love. It's like
a boy and a girl.
It's a horrific romance involving a man with a mild trichotillomania hair pulling and eating habit, and a woman who has a severe version of that habit, and how that relationship, how they hit off in a catastrophic way.
Maybe it's just like overanalyzing it, but I really loved how you got this very specific sort of syndrome, you know, which is utterly physical, and you just lead us towards this sort of journey of decay, you know. It's not just the physical decay, although of course it's translated into images, but you really sense the sort of loss and this process towards, you know, degrade that we have with the characters
in the world as well.
Exactly.
Well, you know, that's why we make movies, to externalize the internal, right?
But how was it? Well, how was the writing process as well? Like, it was a sort of, I kind of like imagine a sort of like group of, I don't know, little kind of crises that you had in yourself, and then you put it down on paper, and then you kind of found a leitmotif altogether. I just curious about that.
Well, you know, you never really stop like writing, because it's like, a lot of it is finding, you know, the locations to make the film that, you know, you said, like, that are decayed. A lot, you know, in the future this will be helpful for me, but very often I write films that are, you read them and you may not necessarily give me the benefit of the doubt, because you're like, this is really strange, and you have to kind of see the language that I speak in, the grammar of the movies that I make. And then it's like, having made short films before, it was helpful for those who were reading my script to have seen the visual nature of the short films, and then be able to read the script and be like, okay, like, I understand that when he says the floor is swirling, that the floor might actually be swirling, and it won't look like cheap and bad. And, anyway, but yeah, it was written just like over 3 years, and I never stopped writing it until we were making it. You know, it was a very low budget movie, like, you know, so love budget, that's what we said, and. So you have to use a kind of like a documentary aesthetic when you're making low budget films. You have to be able to be open to capturing amazing moments that might just happen anyway. And we did that with some of our casting. Like, you know, we have there's like a garbage truck in the beginning of the movie, and the guy who brought the garbage truck brought a friend who for some reason just wanted to come. And I hear him, like, he's just in my house because I'm making an indie movie. I'm in my house. We're filming scenes in my house. And I just hear him in the back and go, that Quentin Tarantino's a nut job. And I'm just like, who is this person? We need to cast him immediately. And we cast him, and he was in the movie as the guy that works at the junkyard.
Yeah.
It was just a guy that showed up. I just begged him to be in the film. He never wanted to be in a movie. And he was in the movie 3 days later. He's Italian American.
I kind of heard a little twang. But I'm kind of linking to what you just said, the idea of sort of like almost a documentary style approach to it, which I sensed in bits in the film itself. You know, like there's some moments of utter brilliance. There is just one little second of comedy, or just one image or so. It seemed like that still the image, the frame for yourself, I mean, is the best way possible out of all the different languages that, you know, film encompasses. And probably when you get the camera in the shooting time was the, you know, probably the most kind of like fun, and I don't know, maybe you just
You know, it's funny because you spend 3 years making a film, and then all you have is the record of those 3 weeks. You just have like, this is what happened in that time, and like, you know, you try to make the best of it. I always feel as if, like, you know, I could write a good script, but I'm not arrogant enough to think that we have to film what's on there. And most of the actors we worked with, especially like the first-time actors or the new actors, were so game to improvise, and it made it a little bit harder in the edit. But just to, I wanted them to get the thesis of the scene always, but to be able to say it in their own words and to have, you know, some comedy happen, some mm-hmm. magic happen. And most of the actors were game for that. Some people, that's not how they work, and that's okay, you know. But I prefer to work with people who were able to put the meaning of the words I write into their own language.
And that was one of the kind of like the paramount points, let's say, so for the casting as well, for the two roles, or mm-hmm. you were led more by the, well, the aesthetics, which is, you know,
say that again,
the aesthetics also of the, like, actors? The way that they look, exactly, the, like, the, yeah, well, what, know, they kind of represent in a way between
Michael
the,
is kind of like my, like, he became like kind of the cartoon version of me. And mm-hmm. Michael, he had been in a bunch of short films I made, so it was always, I knew if I casted him, I would at least, he is like a friend, and I don't have to use kid gloves around him. I don't have to, like, coddle him. He doesn't need a trailer. He could sleep on the floor. He could do whatever. I knew that I at least have the main character articulated properly, and he is the cartoon version of me. And have you seen the Leos Caraxes films? Leos Carax.
Yeah, of course.
So he's like my Denis Levant. I always feel that's what we always call him. He's our Denis Levant. Because, like, you know, the first three movies.
Your fetish actor.
Yeah, exactly. And Chelsea, that was one of those things where it's like, her character is basically two characters. Mm. So you need to be able to find someone to play the two characters. But you need to be able to find someone to play the character who, with her wig off, is actually better at playing that character than the other character, because the other character is acting, mm-hmm. and you're wondering, it's like, is this a real performance, or is this someone pretending to be this other person, and who is this real person when her wig is off, right? And Chelsea was there was so many people I could have gone with that were like this is like more of like the manic pixie dream girl type, like a Zooey Deschanel kind of, like, and then he meets her and it's great, and, you know, but it was way more important for me to have someone that could play the second character, mm-hmm. the character with the wig off. And when I met Chelsea, I like watched her eat a cheeseburger, and I knew immediately that it was her.
That's great. Yeah. And just to conclude, little question about the film itself, sure. The screening. How was it?
I think it went well. People were going up to me and saying nice things afterwards. Someone, like, a bunch of people asked for pictures, which was the first for me. Someone asked for my autograph. I'd never given an autograph before. So if that happened, I think it went well. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe some people didn't like it. But the fact that some people were into it is really nice. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, it's an odd movie, especially at this film festival. Mm-hmm. A lot of the movies here are a little bit more meditative, whereas our film is a little... It's slow in some parts, but it definitely... It moves, and it's short.
It's visceral, in a way. Yeah. Maybe sometimes quite literally.
And very linear. Very linear. You know, so I think some people appreciate it just as like a counterculture to the Venice Film Festival of films. And, you know, we are the small section of the Venice Film Festival in Critics Week. And so it's sometimes I feel like I'm in a, you know, a little fish in a big ocean, right? But it's great. It's great to be in the big ocean.
Of course. I mean, International Critics Week is, you said it right, of course, it's like one of the side parts, but still, it really encompasses one of the best films all over the world. And, you know, and
I'm in the
that's
catalog.
Where, exactly, that's where you should be, because it was
you.
A great film.
Thank you.
And thank you so much, Xander, for being with us here at Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider. Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.